there are many blessings of friendship, from laughter in good times to support in difficult times. But what are the blessings of friendship with Jesus? And how can you know if you're a friend of Christ's? Find out next on Grace to You. Helen Keller talked about the blessings of friendship when she said, "Walking with a friend in the dark is better than walking alone in the light," end quote. Friends can help you celebrate the joys of life, and they can be a source of strength when times get tough. Well, as his disciples began the hardest night of their lives, Jesus encouraged them, he taught them, and he called them his friends. But what does that friendship with Jesus really look like? And how can you know if you're Jesus' friend? John MacArthur will answer the questions on today's Grace to You as he continues the study of that night before Jesus' crucifixion. The series is called Abiding in Christ. See how Jesus treated his friends, what he told them, and how his words apply to your life even 2,000 years later. And now here's John MacArthur with today's lesson.
Turn in your Bibles to the 15th chapter of John. Verses 12 through 16 will be our text. The topic is really the characteristics of the friends of Jesus, what it means to be a friend of Jesus Christ. Now, as we approach these verses, and we're going to go through them verse by verse, Christ gives us five characteristics of his friends. These are manifestations of the friends of Jesus. This is not how you become a friend of Jesus. This is how it becomes visible that you are his friend. These are five marks, characteristics, or manifestations of the friends of Jesus. And they're really wonderful. The first basic characteristic of a friend of Jesus is that he loves his brother. Verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Verse 14 says, if you are my friends, you'll what? You'll keep my commandment. So it is that the friend of Jesus loves the other friends of Jesus. The true believer, the true Christian, has a love, and by that I mean a legitimate, deep, honest love for other believers. There's no such thing as loving God without loving Christ. There's no such thing as loving God and Christ without loving other believers begotten by God and Christ. It is characteristic of a true friend of Jesus that he loves the other friends of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, I love this one, says this, "But as touching brotherly love," listen to this, "ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." Do you see, that's part of being a believer. That's part of being a friend of Jesus. And you have to actually violate your nature in Christ not to love somebody. You've got to conjure up sin to turn off the love that is there. Because it's natural for a believer to love the other friends of Jesus. The second characteristic, Jesus' friends know divine truth. I mean, just to think about that absolutely blows my mind. When I stop to realize that I literally, little old puny little me, you know, in my little brain, know divine truth. I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, I got a D in algebra. Do you understand what that means? I know the truth of the universe. So do you if you know Jesus, if you're his friend. Watch it, verse 15. "Henceforth I call you not servants." Watch this one. "For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." Is that fantastic? Everything Jesus heard from the Father, he tells us. The slave could never be a friend. The slave in the Greek was really a living tool, is what he was. His master never told him why, he just told him what, you know, go do that. The master didn't disclose all of his goals, all of his passions, and all of his loves, and all of his purpose to the slave. He just went out and said, you go over there and do this, and you go over there and do that, and he'll take care of the purpose for all of it. But we who are Jesus' friends are not blindly obeying. We are in on the details. We share his heart. We share his plans. We share his motives. We share his purposes. Slaves serve so they can earn money, right? They serve to get their keep. Servants work just to get their money, get their keep. They could care less what the master's wishes are. Mostly they have a crummy attitude toward the boss. They just serve. They just crank it out to get it done, earn their money. Not us. Not friends. Oh, no. Our passion is the passion of Jesus. We want what he wants accomplished. And so we're not working to earn anything. We're working because it's our heart's desire to do it. Because we know the whole plan from beginning to end. He's revealed it to us, past, present, future. Jesus said, if you are my disciples and continue in my word, John 8:32, you shall know the truth. We have a scoop, inside scoop, on divine truth. Over in 17th chapter of John, verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Watch this. Now they have known that all things whatever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Jesus says, Father, everything you told me, I passed on to them. At the end of the book of Romans, in the 16th chapter, in verse 25 and 26, he says, now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophet, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. In other words, the manifestation of God's truth through the scripture. You say, well, that doesn't set us apart. Anybody who buys a Bible can read it. Not so. Not so. Read again 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and you'll find out the natural man does not understand the things of God. They have to be discerned spiritually. And by the indwelling Spirit and the Word of God, we know divine truth. We know things no one else knows. All the philosophers and all the scientists of our world searching and seeking for truth are like babes in the woods compared to the simplest Christian who is exposed to the revelation of God through the Word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes we take it for granted, don't we? I really think we do. I don't think we really get a grip on what it is to know what we know. And so Jesus never expected his disciples to be blindly obeying him and just kind of dragging along, cranking it out. But they were to be his friends, intimately acquainted with all his heart's desire, all his work, and all his mission. And what a privilege that is. In fact, he even lives his life through us. So the friends of Jesus love each other, and they know divine truth. Thirdly, Jesus' friends are especially chosen. This is good. Friends usually, you know, in a human situation, mutually choose each other. Not so in this case. Verse 16, just the first part. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, watch this, that ye should go. And we'll stop right there. I like that. He says, I have chosen you. You've not chosen me. And he's talking about salvation there. Verse 19 says, I have chosen you out of the world. Jesus has chosen certain ones to be his friend, and he chose them out of the world. That refers to salvation. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, chosen out of the world. Then I want you to see another word in that verse. He said, I have chosen you, and we've talked so much about that in the past, God's great decree. Then he says, I have chosen you and ordained you. Now, that's a different word. That's a Greek word, tithemi, and it's an interesting word because it means to appoint for a special service or to set for a special reason. In several places in the New Testament, it talks about certain individuals being appointed or being ordained. And I think it's a very important word because it introduces to us here a very important concept. In Paul's letter to the church at Corinth in chapter 12, he says he's appointed some to be apostles, prophets, teachers, and so forth, and lists the gifts in verse 28 of chapter 12. He says it talks about being appointed or set for a certain purpose. The word ordained means implies the idea of service, chosen to salvation, ordained to special service. That's the distinction in the verse. I have chosen you, that is to salvation. I have ordained you, that is to service. Special service. Jesus' friends then are specially chosen, and as I said in verse 19, they're chosen out of the world. Now I want you to see what they're chosen for, and I love this. First of all, he says, you're chosen and ordained that you should, what's the next word? Little word, go. That you should go. I like that. No Christian was ever chosen to stop or to stand around and watch. My friend, you were chosen to go. The world isn't about to come. You have to go. The Bible doesn't say, hey, all of you in the world, come to the church. Go out on the highways and byways and compel them to come in, Jesus said. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus said, after the Spirit of God has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Get out and reach the world. My friend, you were chosen to go, not to come. And come till you're ready to go, and then go. So Christ elected a group of men out of the world of darkness. He saved them first. He trained them. He loved them. He called them his friends. He ordained them, sent them right back into the world where he got them. Only when they went back, they were ready to do something to the world they came out of. What a high calling. Every believer has been chosen for salvation, ordained to special service, and you're to be fired right back into the world again to communicate Jesus Christ. The idea is motion in the Christian life. The idea is to go. Boy, we're called and ordained to glorify the name of Jesus Christ in the world. We're called and ordained to let God work his perfect will through us. We're not called to sit, we're called to go. So Jesus' friends love each other, know divine truth, and are specially chosen. Then fourthly, Jesus' friends bear remaining fruit. Verse 16 says this in the middle. After go, it says, and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. We'll stop right there. You know, one of the fantastic things about the Christian life is that it's so purposeful. I mean, do you realize that when you go out and communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody and they receive Christ, you have brought about an eternal transaction? I mean, you know, just to look at life apart from Jesus Christ and just to watch it kind of dwindle away day after day meaninglessly with no results and no effect on anybody for any time at all, and then to compare that with the life of a believer, a friend of Jesus, who bears fruit that is eternal. What a fantastic realization. Just like the ripples in the pond when the rock goes in, your life will ripple throughout all eternity with fruit born in time to the glory of God. Well, I'm telling you, it's exciting. A wonderful promise that you'll have fruit that remains. You say, what is fruit? Remember what it is? It's Christ-likeness. It's confession of praise. It's a contribution of love. It's communication that blesses others. It's conduct in general, good works. And it's also converts led to Jesus Christ. All of that is fruit. And your fruit, my friends, is eternal. Those are commodities that affect people's lives forever. You say, well, I don't have any eternal fruit. I never led anybody to Jesus. Maybe you never had the final result. Maybe you never reaped the harvest. But every time somebody saw love or joy or any other fruits of the Spirit in your life, the planting of the truth of God was there. And when that person came to Christ, you were part and parcel of the experience. And it was your fruit as well. And when you have taught somebody else the Word of God and enriched their Christian life, which gives more glory to God, you have thus borne eternal fruit. I'll tell you, it's wonderful to have a life that has products going on forever. Boy, do you ever get a grip on really the significance of your own life in Christ? The things that you do for God never pass away. Did you know that? Remember the little saying? Only what's done for Christ will last. All the fruit you bear is forever. Boy, that's fantastic. Remember in Revelation when it says about the saints who have died, it says they have died and gone to glory, and their works do what? Follow them. See? Their fruit goes right with them forever. Lastly, Jesus' friends not only love each other, not only experience divine truth and all these other things, but Jesus' friends have their prayers answered. Look at the end of verse 16. That whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Isn't that exciting? A true friend of Jesus has his prayers answered. Now, we've talked so much about the principle of asking in Christ's name. It simply means to say, I'm asking this because this is what Jesus would want. Selfless. Not to consume it on your own lusts, but because this is the desire of Jesus Christ. I'm asking for Jesus because this is what he would want, and God will answer. I wanted to spend more time on that, but we're done. There they are. The characteristics of those who are the friends of Jesus. They love each other. They know divine truth. They have a special calling apart from the world to go back into the world. They bear remaining fruit that is eternal. They have their prayers answered when they pray in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a friend of Jesus. Now let me add one thought. This is a key thing. These are all characteristics of you who know Christ. All of them. But in every case, now watch this, in every case, though these are yours by the general pattern and by your position in Christ, the New Testament takes it a step further and encourages you to really operate on those principles. The true friends of Jesus love each other, and yet the Bible says we must love each other fervently, pushing us to the extreme. The true friends of Jesus know divine truth, and yet the Bible says study the Word of God to show yourself approved, rightly dividing it. The true friend of Jesus has been called out of this world, and yet the Word of God says so carefully to us, walk worthy of such a high calling. The true friend of Jesus bears eternal fruit, and yet the Bible says seek to bear more fruit in response to the purging of the Father. The friend of Jesus prays, and God answers. And the Bible yet says, pray fervently, pray effectually, and pray without, what? Ceasing. You see, in every one of these pattern and positional truths, there is that practical implementation to get in on all that there is available. The resources are all yours if you're Jesus' friends. You say, well, what about those who aren't his friends? Well, Jesus said this, he that is not my friend, he that is not with me, is against me. Are you searching for love? Are you searching for truth? Are you longing for purpose? To live for something? To be a part of some plan? Are you longing for a meaningful, productive life? Are you searching for supernatural resources to all your needs? Then I say to you simply, be a friend of Jesus, and you'll have them all. You say, can I? I thought Jesus chose his own friends. He does. And if he's speaking in your heart right now and calling you to himself, you must respond personally and individually. Father, we thank you for teaching us again. Father, there's some that you're calling right now to be your friends. Lord Jesus, there's some you've chosen to be your friends, and you're waiting for them to respond. And right now in their hearts, they sense you saying, come to me and believe in me and give me your life and receive my friendship and all that it implies. Father, I pray that they might do that they might become that friend. Father, those of us who are your friends already who love you, help us to take all these general patterns and positional patterns that we have and stretch them to their limit. Help us to be the truest kind of friends, that you might be glorified in us. We pray in Jesus' name, whom we love and whom we serve with love. Amen.
You've been listening to John MacArthur showing you what it means to be a friend of Jesus. John's the featured teacher here on Grace to You. He also serves as president of the Master's College and Seminary in Southern California. His lesson today is a part of the compelling series that looks at what it means to be a Christian and how you can know the difference between a true disciple and a counterfeit. The title of the series, Abiding in Christ. John, you said today that Jesus' friends want what he wants. Clearly, to find out what Jesus desires, we need to know the Word of God. But I'm wondering, does any specific passage best describe what Jesus is passionate about?
Just backing up from that for a minute, Carl, we do remember the Great Commission. And in the Great Commission, our Lord Jesus commanded his disciples and all his followers throughout history to take the gospel to the world, to baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's what we do. That's what the church does in the world. It proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ, and for those who believe and are baptized, it then becomes the resource that instructs them in everything that Christ commands, absolutely everything. The seminal moment or moments that lays down those sort of original commands and promises is the evening that Jesus spent in the upper room with his disciples. It was there that Jesus made crystal clear that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then to further motivate, not only because it's what love does, but to further motivate, he laid out some massive, sweeping, glorious promises. All of that happened that night in the upper room. I want to tell you about a book called The Upper Room. It looks at the promises of Jesus in John 13 to 16. It's not an academic study. It's not going to dig down into a lot of history and background. It just launches off the grand reality of the promises of Jesus for every believer. The Upper Room. I want to get one in your hands. You can have one if you contact us today and order it.
If you're looking to better understand how you can truly abide in Christ, be a faithful friend, and have the same desires that he has, John's book, The Upper Room, can help. It's an ideal complement to John's current series. It takes an in-depth look at what Jesus taught his disciples that night before his crucifixion and how his words apply to you. Get your copy of The Upper Room. Contact us today.
Reach us by email at this address, info@gty.org.uk. And to speak directly to our staff, call weekdays from 9:30 to 5 GMT. Our free phone number in the UK is 0800 389 3958. Or call from anywhere in Europe. That number is 0044 1233 662 262. Friend, our desire is simple, to help you understand Scripture, apply it to your life, and effectively minister wherever God gives you influence. Grace to You does that through more than 3,000 book, audio, and video resources by John MacArthur, including the Drawing Near Daily Devotional and the MacArthur Study Bible. Besides English, the Study Bible comes in French, German, Spanish, Russian, Italian, Portuguese, and Arabic. Check gty.org.uk and see all we have available. Again, gty.org.uk. And to let us know how God is using Grace to You in your life or to support our radio program and help keep it on this station, write to P.O. Box 153, Ashford, Kent, TN 24 8WE. Thanks for your prayerful gift. Now for John MacArthur and the staff, be back for another half hour of unleashing God's truth, one verse at a time, on Grace to You. More compelling Bible teaching on our next broadcast. Join John MacArthur again at this time and invite a friend to listen along here on Grace to You.